Hey, it's Beth here. Okay, still over 65, still talking, still pandemic. So, this is episode 112, June 12th to 2020, and the trolls are needing to work, and the movie theaters are closed. So, they've been on furlough. I'm bringing them back for half the money, and we're gonna do Netflix movies. We're going to do movies you haven't seen for older people or whatever. And so that's what I'm going to do. Because there's a lot of them. And a lot of the older ones no one's seen. And they're good. You know, they've been doing it for like 15 years and nobody cares. But now I care. So I do love movie theaters because half of the thrill for me is I go to a movie theater with a chair that goes back. I get a glass of wine and a lovely lunch. That's great. Now this Netflix thing, it's not so great. I'm here, I'm lazy, so I'm just like lying down. Maybe I've got some peanuts if I planned ahead, which I usually don't. So it's harder for the movie to live up to the hype. So I think I'm brutal with these criticisms, but I'm gonna do them anyway. So I'm gonna see movies, lots of them. And a lot of them, so you don't have to see them. And if there is some good, I'll tell you. The first one, it's called Paddleton. I think I talked about it a little bit before, but it is so sweet. And I know it's kind of about, assisted suicide. I know that doesn't sound good. I know you can't even put that in this. There's no way to clean that up. There's nothing that is funny about this. And I'm trying to do feel-good movies, but this is kind of a feel-good movie because the guys are really good friends. So things will get better. Okay, the second one, if you have grandchildren and you love James Caan, like he was so great back in the day, he's in this movie called Undercover Grandpa. It's adorable. And it's James Caan. And you want to see him, you know, you miss him. You want to see him. It's cute. If you have grandchildren, there isn't a second of this movie where you'll be embarrassed. There's nothing you have to explain to the kid. This is as clean as a whistle, and it's got two really adorable teenagers in it. So this one is just—it's just a sweet movie. So you know, I mean, this isn't going to be like David Lean and Dr. Zhivago, but it's free. So, and you haven't seen it, you got to be sick and tired of seeing things for the third time. You know, it's ah. So then there's this one called I'll See You in My Dreams, with Sam Elliott, who you want to see all the time, and Blythe Danner. Very cute love story. Of course, it also involves death, which I wish they would just stop this. Like, just because we're old, can't you just not remind us every single second? Can it just be for once that we can just be happy and there's no medical emergency? So, if I was to complain about anything, that would be my complaint. Okay, so here's one, younger people, but it was cute. And it's called Special Correspondence. And it's Ricky Gervais and Eric Dana. And it's very cute because Ricky wrote it and directed it. So he's the star in it. In fact, he's such a big star in it, nobody could talk to him. And he's the guy who has both guns in his hand. And, you know, Eric is behind him going, ah, help, help. He gets to be like total hero. Goes from dweeb to hero in 2 seconds. So, you know, is a little dream of Ricky Gervais, and then, you know, Eric Bano or whatever his name is so handsome. This must have been a great time for Ricky. So give it to him. He's a nice guy, kind of. Anyway, it just goes to show if you're the star and the writer director, what you can get away with. So then there's Afterlife, which is that's how I got into this guy. It's Ricky Gervais too, but this one is really good. And it's of course about death, and I don't know what's Jesus, maybe it's me. Okay, I'm not sure. But this one is very sweet. He loses his wife, and it kind of shows like I'm going through grief. I'll go through it for the rest of my life because my son can't even talk about it. Gotta pull it back, pull it back. Okay, so, but it shows that there is no getting over it. This is just the rest of your life, and you're just changed. And it's really liberating to watch it because nobody can fix it for you. And I know people want to, and they want me to be better. It's just never going to happen. And this whole 2 seasons is kind of about that. And even though he gets a little bit better, he's really changed and he's damaged and he's never going to be that same fun guy. And that's just great. Just like the end, you know? Just no happy endings, no Hallmark cards, no nothing. You know, just the world's changed for somebody. So you'd probably like it. He starts out a little bit angry and off-putting, but and that's what he is mostly anyway, but it's really got a good heart, I promise. Just stick around. So that one, okay, now this is adorable. About Time with Bill Nighy. It's really cute. I mean, he's just the cutest guy. The storyline is great. The moral is great. You will not be sorry. Now there's another one called Girl in the Cafe. I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. I'm a Bill Nighy fan and he hasn't done enough stuff. I hope they don't really get together. Kelly McDonald, who plays this girl next door, Catholic school girl, virgin pin, kilt, beyond belief. She's in all the movies as the sweetest girl, a darling that you would never hurt, that you have to marry. And it seems like they're having an affair, so I've been circling around that, not wanting to. I think maybe he's just going to kiss her once and be changed for life. It's going to be too gross if that happens. So don't watch that one yet. I'm gonna go on the battlefield. I'm going to see that one for the team. And I'll come back and I'll tell you about it. So don't do that yet. Here's one that surprised me. It was called Quartet. And it's got Maggie Smith and Brendan Gleeson. I will see anything that Brendan Gleeson is in. I love this guy so much. And in fact, his son was in About Time, which is kind of funny. But he's just such a great actor and he has good taste in movies. So they play opera stars in a retirement place for opera stars. And Maggie Smith comes. And it's really got a lovely romance to it. And, no steamy sex, which, you know, I don't get why they can't just, why we can't do that. So, anyway, I mean, people aren't going to watch this movie when they're younger anyway. Why do we care if we offend them? Come on. Let's get it on. Like, you know? So it's just a little too straight in that way, but it's got a wonderful heart. So those are good. And then there's some old ones. And I kind of recommend that I do this with Parenthood. I watch it every like 3 or 4 years. And every single time I watch it, I commiserate with a different character. The first time I watched it, I commiserated with the pretty girl who's married to Rick Moranis, who just wants to eat Twinkies in the closet. Totally understood her. I totally loved the way she just ate that Twinkie right in front of him. It was like defiant, like in the Defiant Ones, or it was like brave and beautiful woman power. Just, she jumped down on that Twinkie and just ripped it up right in front of his face. It's just like, I mean, they're, you know, Bridge Over the River Kwai for me, like big time. So fell in love with the movie like that. And then the second time I watched it, it was Mary Steenburgen because she was so caring about her children. Oh, wait. It was actually Steve Martin. Oh, my God. When he played that cowboy Dan at the birthday party, I tried so hard to make his kids happy, make his son who's sad and in therapy happy. Oh, my God. That's still one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I really am sorry that Steve Martin never had any children. He would have made the most awesome dad. I know he's OCD, but who cares? He would have been so great at it. So anyway, then the next time I watched it, I was Diane Wiest, and I had the kid, Joaquin Phoenix, the teenager with the brown paper bag. And I felt like that with my teenage sons. I felt like there was something wrong and no one would tell me what it was to be a teenage boy, what the secret was, what was that thing, and the mystery of it all. So that was great. And then the next time I saw it, I was Jason Robards. I was older. I guess I saw it a few other times and maybe didn't really commiserate with anybody in particular. But the Jason Robards one was hard because I didn't have a son like his son, who was played by Matthew Downey, the guy, you know, Downey Jr., Robert Downey Jr. And he plays this ne'er-do-well that breaks his dad's heart. I didn't have that kind of a kid, thank God. But the fact that the father was wrong about everything and he was giving all of his time to what he thought was important and he was wrong and he should have been giving his time to other things and other people, I've had that feeling. You go through a period, I don't know, somewhere along the line, empty nesting or whatever, and you want to do everything over. And some of you got right and you really want to do those over. And then some of them, you really missed the boat. You really misunderstood. That's really heartbreaking. So I saw it. I was crying when I saw it. I mean, Jason Robards was a hell of an actor anyway. And then I didn't go back to see the movie for like 12 years because that was traumatic. So I just saw it again. And I really commiserated no more, I don't know what the word is. I was overjoyed this time to feel for the grandmother. I always thought in all the other times I saw it that she was just a dope. Just like they were making fun of old people, right? And she was doddery and she was always late and she couldn't get in the car and all that stuff. But this time, it was breathtaking. At the end where she told him to take his hands off the railing and just lift them when he's on the roller coaster. Just let it rip. And I feel like that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. That's how I'm going to grow old. I want to be her. So I'm going to watch it again. And she's just amazing. Because I didn't see in the beginning, I wasn't even looking at her till that moment. And in that moment, I identified with her. So now I want to go back and watch the whole movie and watch all she does throughout the whole movie all over again. This is how busy I am. So that's what I'm going to do. And I've got some old movies that you got to see. Like, you got to see Roman Holiday. You just have to. It's so romantic. Even if you saw it like 30 years ago, you haven't seen it. You're a new person. You're a different person. You haven't seen it in the new body and brain and heart that you have from aging. It's just gorgeous. And then Gilda. I mean, I've loved this movie my whole life, but I didn't realize how very sick she is. I mean, I always loved her clothes. Always loved her voice, her sexuality, sensuality, whatever they call it when you're a woman. I think it's sexuality when you're a man and sensuality when you're a woman. Like, that is a difference or something? I don't know. Anyway, she's a force of nature, which I adore. But I didn't realize how sick she was. She's like so crazy codependent, and so is he. And the truth of the matter is, the chemistry between them was real. Because I just read that Glenn Ford's son wrote a book, and he said that his father was in love with Rita Hayworth the rest of his entire life. That's how much of an impact that movie had on him. They remained close forever, no matter what else was going on. And you can feel it. I mean, I love you, I hate you. Oh my gosh, it's just so hormonal and exciting and crazy. And then they end up together. So that's a great movie. And her clothes, oh my God. And her hair and her voice and her dancing. She really was just amazing. But that crazy, sick love affair, just loved it. I don't like George and Martha. It's not fun when they do it their way. These two, they go at it and, you know, it's not some parts, you know, they're mean to each other. But this last time I saw it, I could see that they were in love with each other every second. Oh my God, what a thing. So that's just a fun ride. And then, you know, there's Sabrina, which is also gorgeous. And the house she lives in is gorgeous. And everything that happens is gorgeous. And she's gorgeous. And she puts those men, she makes mincemeat out of those two guys. Like, this was a time when women could control the screen. And the director let her. And actually, while this was filming, she was having a red hot affair with William Holden. And she wanted to marry him desperately. And he wanted to marry her, but he couldn't bear the thought of having more children because it was a bad dad. And so they didn't get married. So anyway, that's just nice to know that backstory. And you don't even see Humphrey Bogart. You don't even see William Holden. And she's madly in love with him. Like, all you do is see her. So all these movies are great. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down all the lists of movies that you should see when you're in our age group. And I'm going to see a lot of them. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to find movies that I didn't see. Or the first time I saw it, maybe I didn't appreciate it because I wasn't older. And I'm going to give you a list of movies, brand new stuff that you haven't seen that you got to see. Or movies that you haven't seen in 30 years that look all different now because the world's different or we're different. So this is going to be my new job because I got nothing to do. And I'm not getting out of here. I thought I'd be getting out of here, but I'm not. And I don't even know how much longer this is going to go on. And I can't watch the Gilmore Girls anymore or New Girl or any girls. I can't do it. I have to see something new. So, and I like old people. I want to see movies. And if we got to die, we got to die. I mean, that's just the price we have to pay, I suppose, every single time. I'm going to search and I'm going to find some good ones. So anyway, and in Quartet, nobody dies. So that's good. So, and maybe I'll have a little disclaimer in the beginning to tell you if nobody dies. And maybe you can go there right away on a very depressed, like the mood that you're in will factor in to whether you should see this movie. And I guess I'll put a little, like 1 out of 5, like how you're doing emotionally, like what you can take. Like I can never take a movie where a kid dies anymore. Like it's over. So maybe I'll just, like before every movie, this is a good idea, I'm going to write it down. It will have a medical warning, okay, for what might be there. And so you can make your choices accordingly. Like if you're in a good mood, maybe you can do it. If you're in a bad mood, maybe you can't, okay? Philosophical moods, I don't know, understand any of that. So we'll just stick with the basics. And I will be back, and my trolls are back, and we're just gonna play in this tiny little sandbox that we've got right now. And I will talk to you later. Just don't lose it. Don't go crazy out there. We're going to get out of here someday. So, you know, my husband's so funny because I say that I'm alone. Like, I'm alone in my house. I'm not alone. I mean, I've got my dogs and I've got Kit, and that's great. But I like to see, you know, children and young people and, you know, people in high heels and laughing. And I just like the whole world. So I want to go back. I know you want to go back. Maybe I'll find some movies that look like the world we used to live in. That might be good too. So got my work cut out for me and my trolls. Sky high by now. Okay, so I will be back with the trolls and I'll see you later. Bye-bye.